Hey, what's happening? Thanks for joining us this evening on the South Central Indiana News Network. You're listening to What's Happening, where we highlight local news and events for Bloomington and the surrounding region, a few exciting changes to the show, a new theme song, and of course, our debut this evening on the South Central Indiana News Network. But more or less, we've got the same format and same content our listeners have gotten to know over the past 3 years. My name is Skip Daly, and I'm joined by the one and only Julie Beasley. Julie, how are you? Tell us a story.
I'm doing well, Skip, but first, how are you?
Oh, well, excited to be here. Excited to be back on the airwaves here. We took this leap to the online world. Hopefully our listeners are going to enjoy it.
Absolutely. Very excited about this transition. And this last week or the beginning to 2021 has been quite interesting for our family. Kind of a little bit of a personal note. The COVID-19 pandemic has affected us personally, as one of our children did test positive for COVID-19. So we have been quarantining.
How's everyone feeling right now?
The most important part to everyone is healthy and really no symptoms. The child that had tested positive just was sleeping a little bit more than normal, but otherwise no symptoms. The rest of the family tested negative. So I would say that we feel very fortunate right now.
All right. Glad to hear that under the circumstances that you guys are doing so well. You know, obviously history was made this week. Now, we're a local news show and we focus mainly on just what's going on locally here in all of South Central Indiana, mostly Bloomington. But we can't ignore that we had the change of administration nationally and historically. A woman is now the Vice President of the United States of America. Well, it's about time.
It's about time, making progress.
It's about time, yeah. What are your thoughts on that?
It's just been so interesting to see, I guess, the change in conversation on social media, but also to have the first female vice president is just so inspiring, not just for women, but our future generations as well. The more diverse and inclusive we are, the more our nation is moving ahead. So it's a very crazy time right now, but exciting at the same time.
And it's been an important first step to have a woman involved in our federal government at such a high level at this point. And hopefully someday soon we'll have a woman president.
I know. And it's funny when they talk about the VP's husband, too. Is it the second man now? So it's interesting hearing that. It's like a term that we've never really, you know, talked about or heard before. So definitely a mile marker in history for sure.
Well, we do have some exciting times, and we've got another exciting announcement about our show. Today, we are featuring some music by King Bee and the Stingers, and we're looking, moving forward, to continue that trend and to host more local bands that have some of the original content on our show.
Well, in Monroe County and the surrounding regions, we have a lot of talented musicians, so exciting for that step.
Indeed. All right. Well, let's take a look back at this week in history. On January 8th, 1993, Martin Luther King Jr. Day is officially observed for the very first time in all 50 states. On January 19th, 1937, Howard Hughes set a new air record flying from Los Angeles to New York City in 7 hours, 28 minutes, and 25 seconds. On January 20th, 1981, just 20 minutes after Ronald Reagan was inaugurated the 40th U.S. president, Iran released all 50 U.S. hostages that they had taken. On January 21st in 1861, Jefferson Davis resigned from the United States Senate and would soon become the president of the Confederate States. On January 22nd in 1973, the U.S. Supreme Court delivered their decisions in Roe v. Wade as well as Doe v. Bolton, which legalized elective abortion in all 50 states. And our celebrity birthday, January 22nd, that's today, celebrating birthday 72, Steve Perry. Now, Julie, we've had a trend through the years of asking if you're familiar with our celebrity birthday. Most of the time you are. Sometimes I stump you. Steve Perry. Remember that name?
I don't know Steve Perry. I was thinking it might have been an actor with the wedding show. And I know it's not the right Steve. Who is Steve Perry?
Steve Perry is the lead singer of Journey. Well, was the lead singer of Journey.
You know that. One of my the husband's voice. Favorite bands. Happy birthday to Steve Perry. And today on the show, we welcome Indiana State Representative Peggy Mayfield and our community update brought to us by the Porthole Inn at Lake Lemon. But first, your local headlines are brought to us by American Senior Benefits, providing innovative smart money options for life and health insurance and investments. American Senior Benefits of Bloomington, online at asbofindiana.com. And also by Brothers Carpet Cleaning, the region's best reviewed carpet cleaning business. Find them online at carpetcleaningbrothers.com. Now, Skip, tell us what's happening.
Earlier this week, after participating in the inauguration of President Joe Biden and Vice President Harris, Vice President and former Indiana Governor Mike Pence was flown back with his family to Columbus, Indiana, where he reportedly intends to move this coming summer. Pence briefly addressed the public from behind a podium which held a sign saying, "Back home again." He thanked President Trump and the former First Lady for their efforts to make America great again.
The United States Department of Education Office for Civil Rights has informed the Indiana Department of Education that they are now under a directed investigation stemming from disturbing reports involving their provision of educational services to children with disabilities during the COVID-19 pandemic. The Office of Civil Rights is particularly troubled by reports that the parents of disabled students in Indiana schools have filed multiple complaints alleging that disabled students have been forced by local school districts into virtual learning programs that were not individualized to meet those students' unique needs. The investigation will examine whether Indiana has excluded qualified persons with disabilities from participation in, deny them benefits of, or otherwise subject them to discrimination under any program or activity.
The Jackson County Prosecutor's Office has issued a statement collaboratively with the Jackson County Sheriff's Department, along with the Brownstown, Crothersville, and Seymour Police Departments, relating to vigilante sting operations. Specifically, individual citizens have been conducting their own investigations into pedophilia by pretending to be underage girls online and arranging meetups with older men in public places. Once the older men arrive with a documented intent of a sexual encounter, they are then exposed on video, which is then posted to social media. Jackson County prosecutor said that vigilantism is extremely dangerous, and he strongly discourages such sting operations, following with, sooner or later, it will result in violence, injury, and death. Police say if you have information concerning sex crimes, sex trafficking, or other crimes, contact your local law enforcement agency and that the police will investigate.
Indiana University has announced earlier this week that they will open a free-to-the-public vaccination site on their Bloomington campus. Although the location is unknown and the opening date has yet to be determined, the university will be collaborating with the Indiana Department of Health on all the specifics. In an issued statement, IU said that their proven efficiency through COVID-19 mitigation testing will help the state's efforts in meeting vaccination challenges. For all the up-to-date information on vaccination appointments, you can visit ourshot.in.gov.
Rod Ratcliffe, the former CEO of Spectacle Entertainment, has challenged that the State of Indiana Gaming Commission acted against him without allowing a fair hearing on allegations that he exerted control over his former company in violation of state orders. This action came following federal indictment of his former business partner for campaign contribution violations. Ratcliffe's lawsuit states that he was unfairly judged guilty by association and forced to give up his stakes in a Lake Michigan casino and a $300 million new casino project being built in Gary, Indiana, in partnership with Hard Rock International.
Due to the ongoing novel coronavirus pandemic and with the health and safety of guests in mind, all ticketed IU Auditorium events that were scheduled to take place for the 2020-2021 academic year have been postponed. Future dates are being planned for all postponed events and will be announced once confirmed. At this time, no auditorium events are canceled. All postponed events will be rescheduled and new dates will be announced once confirmed. Existing tickets will be valid for the rescheduled dates. A list of 2020-2021 postponed ticketed events include David Sedaris, Waitress, Napoleon Dynamite, Beautiful, The Carole King Musical, and Rain, a tribute to the Beatles.
The Notre Dame football program has been hit with NCAA recruitment violations as members of the Irish coaching staff met privately with high school recruits, including an exposed incident where head coach Brian Kelly posed for a photo with a high school prospect. As a result, Notre Dame received a year of probation, a $5,000 fine, and a number of recruitment limitations, including a 7-day off-campus recruiting ban for the entire football staff during the current academic year.
And congratulations to the Bloomington High School South chemistry teacher, Neil Rapp, who has been named 2021 Carol Perry Educator of the Year for making an outstanding contribution to educating and advancing youth and amateur radio. RAP has introduced more than 3,600 students and parents to amateur radio over the past 28 years. He is the sponsor of his high school's amateur radio club and was the mentor of the 2013 Newsline Young Ham of the Year and ARRL Goldfarb Scholarship. He got his start in the field at a young age, and he was once the world's youngest amateur radio operator at just 9 years old. And those are your local headlines. We'll be back with more of what's happening after this quick word from our sponsors.
Are you concerned about your life insurance coverage during these uncertain times in history? I'm Adam Beasley with American Senior Benefits right here in Bloomington, and we can help you find the best coverage for you and your family. We work for you to find the best plan out of more than 150 companies. We can compare your existing coverage or start a brand new plan from newborn to 89 years old. From term to permanent, we'll find what's best for you. Call us at American Senior Benefits, 812-631-2305.
When you're preparing to buy a new home, the last thing you should have to worry about is the safety of your possessions. Allow Big Boys Moving to professionally oversee the transport of your precious belongings. Big Boys Moving is locally owned with years of experience. Whether your relocation is local or long distance, allow Big Boys to move you with an attitude of gratitude. Call today, 812-947-1479 or online at bbmoving812.com.
Welcome back. Julie Beasley here, along with Skip Daly on the South Central Indiana News Network. And each week, our community update is brought to us by the world-famous family-friendly Porthole Inn. Turning 65 this year, the Porthole is Southern Indiana's longest continuous live music venue. You'll love their famous pizzas, steaks, and catfish. Open for takeout. Check them out at portholeinn.com or on Facebook. The Bloomington Parks and Recreation Department is seeking proposals from local businesses, organizations, and individuals to manage all aspects of food and beverage artisan stands or food and truck pushcart vending stands at the Bloomington Community Farmers Market on Saturday mornings during the 2021 market season. The deadline for proposals is February 22nd, and they will be evaluated by a review committee, and preference will be given to businesses located in Bloomington. Detailed RFP forms and a link to the online RFP are available online. You can find that at bloomington.in.gov/farmers-market.
All right, this week our guest is State Representative Peggy Mayfield from District 60. Representative Mayfield, you've been on our show a number of times through the years updating us on legislative matters. I kind of feel this year is a little bit more unique, maybe a little more challenging than in the years past. We're going to get into a number of those matters, but before we do so, go ahead and let us know how you and your family have been holding up through these challenging times.
Doing all right. You know, relatively speaking, my family's well, the business is doing okay, so better than some. I just feel particularly blessed that I've not been as negatively impacted as a lot of people I know.
Well, that is true. There's many out there that have been particularly impacted by this, whether it be the health aspects or the economic ramifications. We're going to get into some of that, but we're going to jump right in right now. Back in March of 2020, Governor Holcomb executed an executive order for global health emergency and subsequently extended that order each 30 days, according to state law. I can understand doing that for the first, I don't know, few months or so while the state and the nation and the world catches up with what exactly this pandemic was and how it was impacting everything. But he didn't decide to call in a special session of the legislature over the summer and seek counsel on how to move forward. Why was that? And what is your perspective on that decision as a state representative?
Well, Skip, thanks for that question, because that's probably one of the things I have heard about most during the interim. When March came around, when we adjourned, I think it was March 11th, who knew that just a couple days later, our state would be hit with the pandemic? One of the things that we struggle with is, when is the appropriate time for the legislature to be consulted when this kind of situation arises? And the challenge is, it's never had to happen before. I mean, all of the emergencies, the Emergency Powers Act, really address events like a tornado, a flood, an earthquake, periods of, you know, short unrest, very disruptive, but they're very limited in scope and time. To have something like a pandemic that lasts for months without the legislature in session, we cannot act unless we're in session. And since we adjourned until the following January, it would take the governor calling us back. The governor, and I need to stress the governor, not as in Eric J. Holcomb, the governor is whoever's holding that office. They need the ability to act quickly and nimbly and decisively. And the legislature is a much more deliberative body. We move slower, we come together, we debate, we discuss things. So we're not meant to be quick in our actions. But the question remains, when is an emergency no longer an emergency? When it becomes the policy? And who's, when it comes to public policy, we believe that that falls under the legislature. There is a bill that's moving, authored by Representative Lehman, that discusses when is the appropriate time to consult the legislature. It's basically after a renewal. And when we were forming this, we spent all summer, I was part of that working group. We looked at all 50 states' Emergency Powers Act. Some states don't even have one. We have to allow the governor to act regardless of who he is, but we also have to have a check and balance. And I think that this pandemic kind of exposed the weakness that exists in our statute. This isn't about stopping Governor Holcomb. This is about addressing a shortcoming of our statute so that in the future, if anything ever happens again, regardless of which party is in office, the legislature and the executive branch can work together.
So you mentioned that there's a bill in place right now. Is the governor expected to sign this if it passes through the House and through the Senate? Does he take this as a restriction of his gubernatorial duties?
Under the circumstances, and we really haven't had a lot of one-on-one discussion with the governor's office, they know, they were aware that we were working on something. In this bill, after the first renewal, so when you're into your 60-day period, then in order to renew it, he needs to call a special session. The question also remains, well, what if we're agreeing with what he does, aside from the pandemic? What if, you know, the legislature decides that what the governor's office is doing is the right order of things? Does that mean that we need to come in? And we're also looking at, what if he calls a special session, he has fulfilled his obligation, then it's up to legislative leaders to gavel us in. If we agree, do we need to do that? Or do we only need to come into session if we want to put a halt on the governor's actions? Be a check and balance in this. Now, remember back up until the early 70s, the Indiana General Assembly only met every other year. Imagine if this had happened after we adjourned and we weren't scheduled to come back for 18 months.
Well, I imagine that would have been incredibly challenging. But specifically right now, you guys are in some uncharted territory, potentially challenging the governor's authority.
Well, I think that there were a lot of initial reactions, but when you metaphorically count to 10 and you really think about, okay, what is best for everybody, then you can step back and approach the problem and the weakness in the statute in a much better frame of mind.
Well, right now, we're going to take a step back. We're going to listen to a quick message from our sponsors, and then we'll be back with more of Representative Peggy Mayfield talking about some of her legislative priorities for 2021. You're listening to What's Happening on the South Central Indiana News Network.
This is Danny with Weathervane Insurance Solutions. Not only is it especially important for our economy to support local businesses these days, but as your local independent insurance agency, Weathervane Insurance can shop you around with dozens of carriers to ensure you receive the most competitive price and, of course, the best customer service. Find us on the web at weathervaneonline.com. That's weathervaneonline.com.
Are you spending more time at home these days? If so, then you'll want to consider having your carpets professionally cleaned. Brothers Carpet Cleaning has been the region's premier cleaner for nearly a decade. Their truck-mounted systems are the most effective to remove bacteria, allergens, and pet dander. Brothers Carpet Cleaning will professionally clean your carpet, tile, upholstery, and wood. When it has to be clean, call Brothers Carpet Cleaning. Online at carpetcleaningbrothers.com.
You're listening to What's Happening on the South Central Indiana News Network.
And we are back here with State Representative Peggy Mayfield. Jumping back from commercial, Peggy, we were talking a little bit about your initiatives for this year. Education has been greatly impacted in the past 10 months in going from face-to-face in the classroom to fully online for periods of time. What are some of the initiatives when you think about maybe state mandated tests in the next maybe few months or over the next school year from a state perspective?
Well, Julie, there are several bills that are filed addressing education, mostly due to the impact of COVID. And some of them do have to do with testing. Now, testing is required by federal law, one, in order for us to get some of that federal money. Last year, we suspended the impact, the negative consequences of testing because the test had changed and we anticipated a significant drop. And I really don't think that we want to suspend the testing just because, you know, it is a new test. I don't know that getting rid of the test is the right answer, but to not hold them, you know, to hold a school system and the students harmless based on the results because of the potential learning loss and the difficulties that they've experienced. I still think that we want to see the baseline, and the test provides us with what that impact was. We don't want to penalize them for it. If we're going to measure learning loss, we need to measure the learning loss with something as objective as a test. So it gives us a better baseline. When different school systems took different approaches to the pandemic, and parents, I think, were even more aware of their ability to choose whatever education program they wanted for their child, whether that was a different public school system, whether that was homeschooling, whether that was a school that they found that just met their child's needs better than what they were getting. I think that that is a big part of the education environment. What is best for your child? And that's why Indiana has one of the best, strongest school choice programs in the nation.
We've talked a little bit about education now. What are some of the other priorities coming up here for the 2021 legislative session?
Law enforcement. There's a bill, 1006, that will help provide body cams to a lot of the law enforcement agencies and have penalties for officers who turn them off intentionally during an official run. It will provide for additional training. It's been recommitted to Ways and Means, and that sort of indicates to me that we'll be debating a sizable appropriation for the Indiana Law Enforcement Academy, which is basically out in Plainfield where they receive their training. It is a great facility. It's, you know, got strong bones, but it essentially has not been touched since it was built in the 70s. So we have a lot of deferred maintenance, so to speak, over there. And, you know, that's where they do their driving. That's where they have their shooting range. It's where they do all the training. So if we're going to have well-trained officers, we need to have up-to-date facilities to provide that.
As we're navigating the pandemic and vaccines are beginning to be rolled out, effective in what you're seeing at the state level right now, what are your thoughts or what are you hearing in regards to employer mandated vaccinations?
There are a couple of bills filed to protect employees from a mandate from their employers. Those discussions are just still in the very early stages. We have been also interrupted because of COVID, so our session days have been reduced. So I have not had a chance to take part in those, or I don't know if they've even had hearings yet. They've certainly not come before the floor for any vote. I know that there are legislators who are concerned about that, and we'll see if those bills move forward and what kind of language is included in it.
the State of the State address happened earlier in the week, and the governor talked about having $2 billion in reserve right now. How is that helping the state, and what is that being earmarked for, or is that just money that is going to stay collected within the coffers?
Well, right, you know, before the pandemic hit, we had about $2.3 billion in reserves. Throughout the pandemic, that was cut about in half, and we're working toward rebuilding that. If we have to be very deliberate in our funding and what we can say yes to. I wish I could say yes to a whole lot more. You know, there are several good ideas out there about what you can do with the money. Sad fact is, if we had said yes to everything, we would have been broke before this pandemic started. We would not have had a reserve, and the pandemic would have put the state way back in debt again. Instead, because we have been very deliberate in our investments, we had the money to get through the pandemic. And as we're coming out of it, Indiana is a state that is looking at where we can make more investments. We're not worried about how we're going to pay our bills like the states around us.
And with some potentially other good news, now I-69 is rolling through Martinsville. Now, I know there's some construction going on in detoured roads, but you must be happy about the progress.
Was just out a few hours ago, and the traffic patterns are changing. The access to State Road 37 is, as you know, when they close access to certain side roads, it kind of throws everybody off. NDOT learned a lot from Section 5 and all the pain that you went through in Bloomington. This is the first city that it's actually divided during the construction. I mean, it came close to a populated municipality with Bloomington. And that was really, I would say, one of the first municipalities that it touched. But in Martinsville, it cuts right through the center of our town, literally dividing the town in two. So yeah, they did a lot of pre-planning, made several adjustments when someone said, hey, this isn't gonna work. We worked with them to make it less painful. Closing the road for a year is actually a good idea. As difficult it is, as it's going to make that year, it was either do it for a year. If you have to understand the slope of that, the grade of that hill too, anyone who drives up and down 37 has a huge hill. And if you could imagine the traffic, one lane each direction, semis, stoplights, et cetera, the danger that it posed, closing it for a year was the better option. For one, it will make it 1 year versus two or maybe three of one lane each direction for all that time while you're doing construction. And it makes it a whole lot safer for the workers, for other motorists. It's just safer. So it's almost like childbirth. Once you get through the pain, you almost immediately forget it because you have this fantastic result on the other side.
Well, all right. Thank you so much. We're just about out of time. Representative, is there anything else you'd like to throw out there for your constituents to hear?
Any ideas you have, please, feel free to contact the office. Email is h60@iga.in.gov. I welcome your input, and we'll consider that as different bills come up for a vote.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Once again, State Representative Peggy Mayfield from District 60. We would also like to thank our sponsors today, Big Boys Moving, American Senior Benefits, Brothers Carpet Cleaning, and Weather Vane Insurance. On behalf of Julie Beasley and the entire team here at the South Central Indiana News Network, my name is Skip Daly. Catch us next Friday evening as we keep you in touch with what's happening.
This was a production of the South Central Indiana News Network.